Luke chapter 8. I'm going to try to tell a joke if I can remember all of it, okay? So there was this lady, and she was asked to sing at a funeral for a homeless man, okay? And she had no idea who this guy was. The funeral home had just called her and asked if she would sing at the funeral. So she agreed to it. It came time for the funeral day, okay? She typed in the address in her GPS, and she started heading that way. Well, after about an hour or two of driving, she realized that she was lost and that she had entered the address in wrong. By this point, she felt horrible, okay? She's late to the homeless man's funeral who had no family or anything like that. So she said, you know what? I'm still going to head out there so that way I can sing at his funeral. So she types in the right address, and she heads that way, and she finally makes it there. Whenever she pulls up, she sees the funeral guys out there still covering the grave up and stuff, and she walks up to it, and she feels horrible, okay? She's already late. She walks up, and she looks down in the grave, and they're already inside that metal thing. I don't know what it's called, but the metal thing that they put the casket inside. So she stands there, and she says, you know what? Everyone's gone except for the funeral workers, so I'm still going to sing. So she's standing there, and she starts singing as loud as she can, okay? And she's singing the most beautiful songs. And finally, she starts singing Amazing Grace, and about four or five of the workers come up, and they gather around her. Some of them are shedding tears. It was just an awesome moment, okay? Well, by this point, she feels sufficed. She's happy with what she did, and she turns around, and she walks to her car. Well, as she's walking to her car, she hears one of the workers say, you know what? I've been laying septic tanks for 25 years, and I've never seen anything like this. Some of y'all might get that later, but... Okay, Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 40, okay? It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answering him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, and James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. In this story here, we see Jesus, he's walking somewhere with his disciples, and a man named Jairus comes up to him and says, hey, my daughter's sick, she's 12 years old, there's something wrong with her, she's going to die, can you please help me? And Jesus is having conversation with this man, okay? Well, as Jesus is walking, he notices something happens, okay? He says, hey, somebody touched me. And the disciples start talking to him and say, Jesus, come on, look at all these people. How are we going to know who touched you out of all of these people that are in this group? And Jesus said, no, I want to know who touched me. Well, at this point, the lady came up and said, hey, it was me. And she was healed of her disease that she had had probably for a lifetime, okay? She had this disease, and she wanted to be healed of it, and she knew that she had to get to Jesus in order for that to happen. Well, the story continues on, and Jairus, someone from his house, comes and says, hey, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter's dead. It's of no use. Just let him go. And Jesus said, hey, as long as you have faith, I can go and I can take care of it. And it says they laughed in the scorn, okay? So they laughed in Jesus' face, saying, hey, there's no way you can raise her from the dead. She's dead. Well, Jesus goes to the house, and he does a miracle, and he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. So let me open my phone real quick because I put my notes on there. so I'd have easy access to it. But I don't know how easy it is now that I think about it. Okay, but okay. So what I want to talk to you about is three ingredients for a miracle. Okay? Whenever I was reading through this, I noticed that there was two different people, okay? We had Jairus and his daughter, and then we had the woman who was sick. Two people that both needed help. Two people that were in a really rough situation. Two people that were in desperate need of a miracle. And I think it's really interesting how these stories overlap. Two different stories, two different lives, but it happened in one setting. And it's just awesome to see how God's power can work in multiple people's lives at one different time, okay? So what I want to talk to you about first is about, the first thing is they had a need. Two people, one was sick to death, the other one had a lifelong disease. They both had a need, correct? And each and every one of us in our lives, don't we all have needs? Whether it be financial, whether it be family, whether it be anything. We all have needs in our life. We all have things that we struggle with. We all have things that we go through. We all have things that we need Jesus to fix for us and to work on for us. And we all have needs. If you go and talk to anyone, they're going to have a need. Whether it be a relative, whether it be anyone in our lives, we all have needs. And that's just part of being a human. And these two people, they both had a need in their life. They both had something that they needed to be solved. They both needed God to step in and work a miracle. We all need God to work miracles in our life, correct? I feel like sometimes we don't really think that God still works miracles, and he still does. Just like he did back then, Jesus might not come down here on earth and do that, but he can still perform miracles in our lives. He can still do things that no one else can understand. He can still solve all of the situations in our life that we need solving in. But we all have needs, and we all need help, okay? So that's the first point. That one's fast. The other two are going to take a little bit. So let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 1. So the second thing that I noticed in the story is that they both had faith. The first thing was they both had a need. Secondly, they both had to have faith if they wanted this miracle to happen. And in both cases, they had the faith. Jairus had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter all the way up until the point to where she was dead. And even after that, he still believed that Jesus could perform this miracle. The woman who was healed of her disease, she had so much faith that she knew all she had to do was touch the hem of Jesus' garment and that it would heal her body. She had great faith in her life. And let's go ahead and read this verse and I'll talk a little bit more. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, okay? Faith is something that's really hard. In theory, faith sounds super easy. Say, oh yeah, I can have faith in this and that. But whenever we put our faith to the test, it's something that's really, really difficult to do. I don't know about you, but I'm someone that does not like to have other people's help. I want to accomplish things on my own just so that way whenever it's done, I can say, hey, I did this by myself. That is not conducive to having faith. And in our lives, Jesus wants us to exercise faith in him. He wants us to not only put our faith and trust in him for salvation, but to put our faith and trust in him with everything that we do, okay? Every single day, we should be trusting that Christ can do anything that he wants in our lives. We should be trusting that Jesus can step in and fix the broken relationships that we have. We should be trusting that Jesus can step in and heal the sicknesses that we might have or our families might have. We should be trusting that Jesus can step in and heal America, okay? There's so many different things that we want fixed in our lives. There's so many different things that we look at and say, man, it'd be really awesome if I didn't have to deal with this anymore, or if I could have that fixed, or this or that. And we leave it at that. We don't have faith. And Jesus wants us to take our faith and to put it in him 100% fully, okay? He wants us to trust him with everything that we have. I think about Kennedy. Kennedy has, most of the time, 100% faith in me and Haley, okay? She'll come, she trusts us for everything, for her food, for her diaper to be changed, all of that stuff. She knows that we're going to take care of her. I don't think there's any doubt in Kennedy's mind that we are not going to take care of her. And it should be the same exact way with us. Jesus is our Heavenly Father, okay? And we should not have any doubts that he's going to take care of us. He always has our back. Just like the song talked about the 99, he's always going to be there for us. He's always there to provide for us. He's always there waiting for us. But the issue is sometimes we don't have the faith in him. We have faith to believe in him, but we don't put our faith and trust in him with little things that we deal with every day or even the big things that come across our lives. And for our Christian walk, that's not going to be good. We need to have ultimate faith in Christ. And like I said, I have trouble with this one myself because I say, well, Lord, I can do this on my own. I can do this. I can do that. Whenever he's saying, Adam, I can make your life 100 times easier if you would just put a little bit of faith in me. That's all you have to do. And I say, well, Lord, come on. I want to be able to take the credit for it, or I want this, or I want that. He says, Adam, just put your faith and trust in me. And that's what he wants each and every one of us in this room to do. Put your faith and trust in him 100%. That no matter how big the situation is, no matter how small it is, Jesus wants to take care of it. I used this illustration when I was talking about faith before another time. Shane, the other day, he had lost his necklace, okay? And he was searching everywhere for it. He said he looked like so many different places. He searched his room. He searched the church. He searched the church van. He looked at my car. He looked everywhere for this necklace. And he said, finally, it dawned on him, hey, how about I pray about it and maybe ask God if he can, like, reveal this to me? He said, like, 30 minutes later, he had this thought, oh, maybe my necklace is at the pool. He said he went to the pool, and he found his necklace, okay? All it required Shane to do was just to put a little bit of faith in God. All he had to do was say, hey, Lord, I can't find this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Can you help me? And you know what Jesus did? He helped him, okay? Jesus wants to help us. I think sometimes whenever we think about God and Jesus, all the same person, but whenever we think about them, we think that they're up there and that they're not paying any attention to our lives, that they don't care about what we're doing, and that we're just an afterthought. And that's not the case. We're the first thing that's on Jesus' mind. He's always thinking about us. He's always wanting to take care of us. He's always wanting to look out for us. But a lot of times, we don't really look for him. We don't really put our faith in him. We don't really trust him with everything that we have. And he's calling for us to do that, okay? Just like Jairus, just like this other lady that was sick, they put their entire faith in Christ that he could heal their situation. They put their entire faith that he would take care of every single thing. Turn over to Matthew chapter 17 real quick. It gets really hot up here. Matthew chapter 17. And once you get over there, we will start in verse 19. It says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So the disciples asked Jesus a question about why they could not cast out a devil. And Jesus said, hey, you couldn't cast him out because you didn't have enough faith in this situation. That's why that did not happen. And Jesus said, if they had as much faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are tiny, right? A mustard seed is basically nothing. He said, if you had as much faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could cast mountains. You could do mighty things. And it shows us, like, honestly, how little faith we have sometimes. And I know God's going to work his will in whatever situation it is. And just because God might answer something with no doesn't mean we didn't have faith. But so many times, and I know from personal experience, we just don't put our faith solely in Christ. We don't trust him with everything that we have. And that's exactly what he wants us to do. Our lives would be 10 times easier if we just put our faith and trust in him completely and wholly and said, Lord, anything in my life, I know that you can handle it. I worry a lot, okay? And I worry about a lot of things, and I'll say, well, I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I don't know how I'm going to solve this. I don't know how I'm going to take care of this. What am I going to do about this? Whenever God is waiting, saying, Adam, just ask for my help. And he wants us to ask him for help. He wants us to put our faith in him 110% fully, no doubting. He wants us to trust in him, okay? So the first thing was, let me get back to my notes, was that they had a need. The second thing was that they had faith. And the third thing is that they were close to Jesus. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 8 again real quick. We won't read the whole thing we just read a second ago, but we'll read some of it. Luke chapter 8 and in verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. So we see Jairus there. He fell down at Jesus' feet, which means that he was in Jesus' presence. Then it says in verse 42, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. So the lady, she reaches over, she touches Jesus. In order for them to touch Jesus, they had to be there with him. And in our lives, we have to be close to Christ, okay? We have to be in his presence. The first thing was that we, sorry, I forgot. One second. Okay, we have a need. Secondly, we have to have faith. Thirdly, we have to be close to Jesus. In our lives, we have to be close to him. If we want Christ to work miracles, we're going to have to be in his presence. If we want Christ to do great things in our life, we're going to have to be near him. We're going to have to be close to him. So many times in our lives, we kind of put Jesus on the back burner, and then whenever something big happens, we run back and say, oh, Lord, yeah, it's me again. I need you to step in and fix this. Well, how do you think that makes Jesus feel? He has feelings. I wouldn't like it if people used me. I wouldn't like it if people only came to me whenever they had a need. Jesus wants us to be around him all the time. He wants us to spend time in his presence. Just like these two people, if they weren't in Jesus' presence, would they have been healed? Probably not. It was because they were there with him. They were able to get near him. They were able to be in his presence, and they were able to have their miracles done. And in our life, whenever we need something, we're going to have to be in Jesus' presence. We're going to have to be near him. We need to be close to him. And it's so easy in our Christian lives to drift away. It's so easy to start walking the other path and to get away from God. We need to draw closer to him. We need to get back to him. Because he's the one who's going to keep us safe. He's the one who's going to protect us. He is the one that can answer every single need in our lives, okay? He doesn't want to just be a genie in the bottle that we pull out whenever we need something done. He wants us to have a relationship with him continually, every single day. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to read our Bible and to get something from his word. He wants us to establish a relationship with him. So many people, they want the blessings of God without even serving God. That we want the blessings of God without being near him. We say, oh, Lord, I wish that I could have answers to this, but then they never open their Bible. Or they say, oh, Lord, I wish that I could just speak to you, but they never pray to him. There's so many different things that we do in our lives whenever God's up there just waiting, saying, hey, I'm right here. Just get close to me. Just talk to me. Just read your Bible. Just come to me because I want to help you. I want to speak to you. And Jesus is in the miracle-working business, okay? He wants to help us. He wants to perform miracles in our lives. But we have to get close to him. We have to be the ones to reach out and say, Lord, let me establish a relationship with you. God is willing to have a relationship with everyone, but not everyone is willing to establish a relationship with God. And so many people think that Jesus is just going to throw out blessings, a blessing for you, blessings for you, blessings for you. That's not usually the case, okay? Jesus wants to give out blessings. He wants to give them out a lot, but so many times we're not there to receive them. Jesus is there giving out blessings, and we're off somewhere else doing our own thing. Jesus is out giving out blessings to people, and we're wondering why they're blessed, but we don't have a relationship with God. If one of the kids in the youth group, okay, let's say that they don't have any type of relationship with me, and then they expect all this stuff from me, am I going to be inclined to do that? No, you can answer. It's okay. I'm not going to be inclined, okay? Now, out of the goodness of my heart, because I'm such a nice guy, I'll probably help him out. But in theory, probably not. If Kennedy is a horrible child whenever she grows up, am I going to buy her every single thing she wants? No, okay? Because she's not a good kid. Well, she is, but in theory. God wants to have a relationship with us. And we expect blessings from him. We expect him to do all these things for us without being close to him, without being a good child for him. And God does not base everything off of our works, okay? But he wants us to at least put forth effort. He at least wants us to establish a relationship with him. And that's something that is prevalent in our churches today, is that people just want to get what God's blessings without putting in any effort, without getting closer to him. We're going to turn over to one more scripture. It says in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and in verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I want to focus on the beginning of that. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's pretty plain and simple. It says, draw nigh to him, and he will get closer to you. If I get closer to God, he's going to get closer to me. If I get closer to God, he's going to be closer to me. It's that simple. We have to be willing to draw nigh to God. We have to be willing to go and establish that relationship with him. We have to be willing to make it a top priority in our lives that, hey, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to spend time with the Lord. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It wasn't the other way, but God will draw nigh to you, and then he'll draw you closer. It's draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, okay? He wants us to put forth effort. He wants us to love him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And whenever I was reading through the story, I was thinking, wow, these people had these great miracles happen in their life. They had something astounding happen that shocked all these people. The odds were not in their favor, but Jesus stepped in. And I thought, well, how did this happen? And these three things, okay, they had a need, they had faith, and they were close to Jesus. If we take those three things in our lives, I'm not saying that if you pray to win the lottery, you're going to win it, okay? But I'm saying that Jesus will work miracles in our lives. He can do things that we wouldn't expect him to do. He can do things that are against the odds. People will look around and say, oh, there's no way that can be solved. There's no way that can be fixed. That kid's too far gone, or that person is this or that, or they don't come to church enough. People look around and we judge these people, but God can step in and change. God can make changes. Okay, God can work miracles. So if there's a loved one that you know of that needs to be changed, stop trying to change them yourselves and let God step in. If it's a spouse and you say, man, they don't come to church enough or this or that, whatever it is, maybe stop trying to change them and start asking God to change them. If it's a wayward kid or something like that, I think about some of the kids in the youth sometimes, okay, and I get worried, and I try to change them myself. I need to leave that up to him, because he can make the changes in their lives. He can make the changes that need to be done, okay? And God wants to step in. He wants to make changes. So think about it as you go home tonight. What is that miracle that you need done? What is it that you want to see God perform in your life? What is it that you are wanting? And see if you're doing those three things. And if you are, I bet he might answer it. And he wants to answer our prayers. He wants to perform miracles in our lives. He wants to do great things for us. But we have to do those three things if we want to get closer to him, if we want to be there to receive his blessings, if we want these miracles, we're going to need to do these things, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and we will be dismissed. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing us to have been able to gather together tonight, Lord. I thank you for all of the effort and the work that the youth put in this evening, Lord. I thank you for their talents and for them sharing those with the congregation. I ask that you would just be with us, Lord. Help us to increase our faith. Help us to trust in you, Lord, because you want to work miracles in our lives. You want to do great things, Lord. But most of the time, it's on our end to where we're not the ones doing the things that we need to do for you to do those things, Lord. So help us to draw closer to you. Help us to have faith, Lord. Help us to realize that each and every one of us have needs and that we need you to step in. I ask that you would just increase our faith, that you would give us a good rest of the day today, help us to enjoy this week, and bring us all back together on Wednesday. In your name I pray, amen. Do you want to say anything? Or?